I'd like to ask you tonight to turn in your Bible with me in the book of James. And I want us to read two verses of Scripture. James chapter 1. And I'd like us to read verses 26 and 27. James chapter 1, verses 26 and 27. I guess a question that's often considered is how a person thinks about themselves in the term of religion. Do you count yourself a religious person? I've heard people say, oh, I'm not much on religion. What if I told you that the Scripture says that there is a way that God expects us to be in our religion? There are some things that are not acceptable in His sight. There are some things that He declares are to be the goal of our behavior in His sight. If you would, look with me, please, at James chapter 1, verses 26 and 27. If any man among you seem to be religious, and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion, and undefiled before God and the Father, is this: to visit the fatherless and the widows in their afflictions, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Now, as we read this text, I think there's some things that it's imperative for us to do. First of all, I think we need to understand the meaning of the terms that are used as religious and religion. And then what God in His Word identifies as being a pure and an undefiled religion. And then as we look at what the Bible says, the final thing would be for us to examine our own selves. Now, I can tell you tonight what the Scriptures say, and I can pray that God would give me wisdom to lead you in understanding. But the ultimate examination will fall upon your shoulders and upon my shoulders. And I pray that we would see the Word of God tonight as a mirror in which we look. And then that as we look, that we would not just be one who is a looker into the Word, but a doer of the Word of God. Now, if you'll notice with me tonight, there's a contrast of statements that's made here. In verse 26, you'll see that it's possible for an individual to seem to be religious. It's also possible that that individual, as he seems to be religious, that he deceives himself. And then there are those things that Jesus describes, or that God describes in His Word in the book of James, as being pure and undefiled religion. Now, I think it's important for us to understand that God doesn't say, well, it's all right for you to decide whether you want to have a religion or whether you don't want religion. Fact of the matter is, we as humanity, we have a religion. Our nature is such that we find those things that will be at the center of our decisions. Now, those things may be our own selves. They may be our own human nature. They may be our family. They may be our job. They may be our choice of hobbies. They may be the passions that we have. The fact of the matter is, we make something our religion. The question is it a religion that is satisfactory to God? It's obvious that the key at the beginning place of understanding our own religion before God and the Father is that we begin in the person of Jesus Christ. There is no purity in our life. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And there is no purity in our life apart from the cleansing blood of Jesus Christ. When we, by faith, believe and trust and know the redeeming work of Jesus, then we have the promise that we are washed and we are new in Christ. If any man be in Christ Jesus, he is a new creature. all things are passed away. James is writing to those whom he addresses as brethren and whom he addresses as being fellow believers. Now, I would say to you that this is where our understanding of the term religious and religion in this passage becomes pretty important. The two words that are translated come from the same Greek root, and I will not embarrass myself by trying to make Greek pronunciations. But the one that's translated as religion in verse 27 is the word which means our ceremonial worship, our practice of worship, the pattern that it takes. The religious, the word religious has to do with the religious practices that we do. Now, both of them come from the same word. It's important to understand that the Lord expects in our lives, if we are believers in Christ, if we are God's children by the work of His Holy Spirit, God works. God has instructed, he doesn't just expect, God commands that there be a practice of worship. Jesus said, God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. And God seeketh such to worship Him. Now, it's this practice of our faith. It's the practice of what we understand God to be teaching us, how we put it to work in our life, that comes into play. With these terms, James says, if a man seems to be religious, if he gives the image of being religious, if he gives the testimony of being religious, and there are some things about his life that don't add up, then he deceives himself. And the thing that, first of all, that doesn't add up, said if he seems to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, this man's religion is vain, it's empty. His practice is of no avail in the worship and the glory of God. That tongue, my tongue, is a little member. James talks about it in another place, other verse. He says it's a little member, but it's like the helm of a ship. It's small compared to the rest of the ship, but it gives the direction to the whole vessel. And if I bridle not my tongue, if I don't put a control on my tongue, if I don't bring it in line with the instruction of Scripture, then my worship, my religious practice is vain. God's not pleased with it. Now, one of the things about that, Jesus says to us in the way we speak, if you look in Luke chapter 6, go back with me over into the book of Luke, and look in Luke, I get my L's crossed up here, look in the book of Luke, chapter 6, and look with me at verse 45. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaketh. If a man seems to be religious, and he bridles not his tongue, then his religion is vain. It's empty. Why? Well, you see, what people hear us saying indicates what is inside of us. The way we talk, the way we speak, the language we use, indicates the difference between us and much of the world about us. That's not to be a language that we use in public and then talk differently in our private lives. It's to be the way we speak out of the abundance of our heart, out of the good treasure of God's grace that's there. God's grace and God's graciousness, God's mercy, God's forgiveness, God's light of His love that He shines in us in Jesus Christ. Those things determine the way we speak to and about other people. That's where the connection comes in verse 27 of our text in James 1. That pure religion and undefiled. Obviously, that which is defiled by our language, that which is spotted by our language, that which is spotted by our attitudes, that which is spotted by our communication, is seen by God as being defiled. Now, understand that this idea of being clean or being defiled carries us back to the idea that's in the under the law of things that were clean and acceptable in God's sight. Under the law of Moses, the Israelites were given certain things that they could eat and certain things they were not to eat. Now, I've heard people try to make health issues out of this, but I'm going to tell you, I don't understand that it's more of a health issue. I understand that it is a matter of separation. It is a matter where God says, in me, you're separated from these things. These are clean. These are unclean. There were certain things that if they touched, they were unclean. The uncleanliness kept them from going in an acceptable worship of God. They were to clean themselves. There was a period of time involved. Now, I understand we're no longer under the law of Moses, but we are under the precept of being clean in Jesus Christ. And there's some things we have to let go of. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father, this is His view, is this: to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction and to keep Himself unspotted from the world. There is an outward effect that God sees that has to do with our relationship with other people. There is a personal respect where we are to keep ourselves unspotted. You see, if I say a lot of religious things, but yet I speak with disrespect and with hatefulness and with bitterness, if my voice communicates those things, then I can't say that I'm walking closely to God, because I don't exhibit the care for others, especially those who find themselves in affliction. Why is it that the Scriptures speak of the fatherless and the widows? We understand that those were perhaps the two most vulnerable types of individuals in the society where they lived. There was no social network of financial support. A child that was fatherless had no care of the father over them, and the father was the head of the house. The father was the provider. The father was the maintainer. The father was the protector. The father was the one who was to love his family as God, the Father, loved him. Without that care, that child lacked the main things that he needed. A widow was a woman who had no husband over her. That was not as a woman who had a boss over her. It was who had a husband's care and protection spread over her, who loved her as he loved his own self. So you see, it was the vulnerable ones. It was the ones who had nothing that were to be considered. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, that to visit, to be in contact with, to be in connection with the fatherless and the widows, to help those who are unable to help themselves. And by the way, isn't that what God in His grace has done for us in Jesus Christ? Paul reminds us in the book of Romans, he said, scarcely for a righteous man would a man dare to die. For a good man, somebody who was really pretty good, not just legally righteous, more ceremonially righteous, a few might dare to die. But God commended His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We're to love one another as God loved us. When there are afflictions, when there are difficulties, that's the demonstration of our religion. That's the demonstration of our faith. That's when we love others as God has loved us. You see, that's something that's to be spread out, to be shared with others. But now, as we do that, I can't just drop a little money and say, well, here, go ahead, go do something else. Listen to what Paul says in Galatians chapter 6, verse 2. Well, I'll read verses 2 and 3. Bear ye one another's burdens. Bear ye one another's burdens. Isn't that the same idea as afflictions? The fatherless and the widows that were mentioned, and so fulfill the law of Christ. The law of Christ is the law of love. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. That idea of deception in our practice, when we have no humility that we will stoop to care for somebody else, when we don't put others in front of ourselves, when we don't consider others of a greater esteem than ourselves, we miss the point of the practice of serving a God who loves us that way, who loved us enough to sin and to give His only begotten Son for our sin. And you see, it's that outreach that's part of our practice of an acceptable practice of our faith. But then there's this interesting phrase. It says that we are to keep ourselves unspotted from the world. Well, I don't have to study the Bible. I don't need to go to church. I can help other people, and I don't have. How are you going to keep yourself unspotted from the world if you don't understand the Word of God that describes what the spots are? You know, there's several things that the Bible gives us instructions on, and I can't go into all of them tonight. But I would say to you that one of them reminds us that we are to flee fornication, sexual immorality and sexual impurity in every form is something that God says we are to run from. I'm to keep myself unspotted. There's a phrase that the Scriptures use that says we are to be careful lest a root of bitterness grow up within us. Bitterness will corrupt our whole attitude. If I'm to forgive, I'm to forgive others even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven me. And if I let these things grow up in my life and they affect my attitudes, And I don't do it, and I do that because I don't have a familiarity with what God tells me to do and why He tells me to do it, then I can't keep myself unspotted. You see, being in the Word of God is the beginning of the practical way of keeping ourselves unspotted. Our cleansing begins in Jesus Christ. Our cleansing for heaven is accomplished in Jesus Christ. But the shaping of our behavior in that hope, the shaping of our practice of that faith, is done by what God says we are to keep ourselves from, as spots upon our witness and spots upon our testimony. I thought about this particular part of this passage and I chuckled because I remember something from watching my children when they were growing up, watching my grandchildren as they are in the process of growing, watching other children. Have you ever watched a small child walk through a yard or a parking lot when it's been raining and there are the puddles? It doesn't matter how a small child is dressed or what they're wearing, they can have on their Sunday go to meeting clothes. But if they got an opportunity to run through a mud puddle, it draws them like a magnet and they have such fun. But what happens? They carry the spots with them on their garments, on their skin, and other people see the spots. Well, in a much larger way, when we run through the mud puddles of the world's behavior, our testimony carries those spots with us as well. And our testimony becomes a vain testimony if it doesn't match what we say. Now, you see, God tells us that there are certain things that's acceptable in His sight. God tells us that there are certain things that are unacceptable in His sight. Now, I didn't make the list, and you don't make the list. God's Word makes the list. So the real question comes down to, what kind of religion am I practicing? What kind of religion are you practicing? It's not for me to point a finger and say, well, you need to do thus and thus and thus, and that one over there needs to do so and so. It's a question for me to look into the Word of God and to ask, do I have a religion that seems to be religious and yet is empty? Or does my behavior verify the words that I say? Now, we're not talking about working our way to earn God's grace and salvation. What we're talking about is doing what God teaches us to do, that He gets the glory for it. Look in Galatians. Go back to Galatians just a moment and look in Galatians chapter 1 and look in verses 3 and 4. Paul said, "Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for our sins that He might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father." Now, He will ultimately deliver us into heaven's glorious world when He returns. He which hath, Paul said in the book of Philippians, "He who hath begun a work in you will continue it until the day of Jesus Christ." But He will deliver us from this present evil world. You see, He delivers us day by day as He fashions us in His own glory. In the second chapter of Galatians, the 20th verse, we find that Paul said, "I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me." The life I now live. You see, when we give ourselves to have a pure and an undefiled religion, it is because Jesus lives within us. It's His grace that gives us the work of faith. Faith is not of works, lest any man should boast. It is the gift of God. God works in our lives. And our service, doing what He is doing within us, gives Him the glory. It acknowledges that Jesus is the one who gave Himself for us. When we bridle our tongue and speak in the way that glorifies Him, it's because He's working in us. I don't add anything to Him, but I do what He does within me. You do what He does within you. You see, folks, our diligence in our practices of the Christian faith, our diligent laborers that please God, and they please God because they're His laborers within us. Now, He tells us that we are to do them. We are to bridle our tongue. We are to give ourselves to those who are in need and in affliction. And we are to keep ourselves unspotted from the world. But we do it by His grace. We do it by His strength. We do it as He works within us. What do you see when you look into the mirror of God's Word? What do you see about your own personal practices of your faith? Are they pure and undefiled? And I'm sure any of us would say, well, I'm not perfect at it. No, we're not. But do we do those things that God says are pure and undefiled? Do we focus ourselves on them? Do we give ourselves to them? Do we control those things that God says we need to bridle? You know, we could go on for a long time and deal with this specific case and that specific case. But I would encourage you, folks, that you take these verses from James chapter 1 and you look at your own religious practice. How does it value other people? How does it value your own personal piety and righteousness? Those are the things that are pleasing to God. Because God, the righteous and holy God, is at work and lives within our life. May the Lord help us to examine ourselves. May the Lord help us to conduct ourselves in such a way that ours would be a pure and an undefiled religion. Lord, give us your strength and mercy. Convince us of those things we need to change. Convict us of them with a depth of our soul that we would recognize that your forgiveness is the only joy and hope we have. And that we would turn from those sinful practices in repentance. And that we would give ourselves to be clean, to draw close to you. For Father, as we are in your presence, the psalmist reminds us that in your presence is fullness of joy. While fullness of joy will ultimately come at your return, you give us the joy of the Lord today. May our practice be acceptable in your sight, that we might draw close to you, is my prayer, for Christ's sake. And amen. Thank you, dear friends, for being with us tonight. I ask you to continue to pray for us. We invite you to be with us. Hopefully, perhaps by next Sunday, we'll be able to be back in our regular services. That determination will be made a little later. But even if we are back in the sanctuary, our services will still be live streamed for you to share with us and to worship with us. And if you can come and be with us in our sanctuary in the future. May God bless and keep you, is my prayer.